we can't love others. We can't even begin to love others until we understand the love that God has for us. We're starting our 40 Days of Love. Today is the first day. We introduced it last week. This past week, I was trying my best to start following this way of love. And Nancy and I had to go to Orlando Thursday night in rush hour traffic. And I'm going to just tell you, I looked at Nancy at one point and I said, I'm just starting over tomorrow. This following the way of love is not always easy. Amen? But we're going to do it. Have you ever thought to yourself, why is it that when we become Christians and we decide we're going to follow God, that He doesn't just take us to heaven right then? Because that'd be kind of cool, right? We got ready, we'd make a commitment, God take us to heaven, we'd get to enjoy heaven, we wouldn't have to worry about death, we wouldn't have to worry about pain, we wouldn't have to worry about all those things. So why is it that God keeps us here on earth? I can tell you why. I know why, because He wants us to learn how to love Him and love others. You see, no matter how long you live on this earth, and we just celebrated Gene Morris's 95th birthday. Amen. That was awesome. And so no matter how long you live on this earth, there is one thing that God wants you to do. Well, it's actually two things. Learn to love Him and learn to love others. If you can get that down, your life is a success. You see, at the end of your days, you can have all the money in the world. You can be Bill Gates Jr., okay, and have all that money. But if you haven't learned to love God and love others, on your death, you will not be a success. You can be Stephen Hawking as far as knowing so much and having so much knowledge. But at the end of your days, if you don't love God and don't love others, it's wasted. You see, I've been around people on their dying beds, their death wishes. Nobody ever said to me, would you go into the living room and get my bowling trophy? Nobody ever said to me, will you go in there into my office and get one of those degrees that I have on the wall and bring it to me so I can look at it one last time before I die? No, everybody on their deathbed is concerned about two things. One, am I in the right relationship with God? And I want to see those that I love. Those are the two things that make you a success in this life. And you say, Neil, how do you know that? Well, let's look at what Jesus said here when He's talking to the Pharisees. If you look down at verse 28, He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. When He's talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In verse 38, He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And then in verse 39, He says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, what He's saying here is you can get it wrong and still be doing what the world calls right. You can be going for the success of this world. And I got to tell you, Nancy's getting close to retiring here. She's not going to let me retire, but she's going to retire. You see how that works, gentlemen? I don't know how to get out of this, but she's going to retire. I'm going to keep working. But here's the thing. We want to be comfortable, don't we? And when I retire, I want to be comfortable. Actually, I don't ever want to retire. I want to die up here on the pulpit because I figure that would be a great sermon illustration for you, for the next guy, you know? You never know when your time is coming. Look at the last preacher. But anyway, what I'm saying here is we want to be comfortable. We want to have all of these things, and we want to enjoy this life and all. But even if we have all of these things and we don't have love, we've lost it. You see, love matters most. And you may be looking at your sermon notes. Why does love matter most? Number one, It is the best use of this life is love. The best use of this life is love. And why is that? Why is it that God says the best use of this life is love? He says there's several things here. Number one, love validates my faith. You see, when I love God and I love others, it's validating my faith. It's one thing to be a nice guy, and there's a lot of nice people in the world. I was at Cracker Barrel yesterday, and I met a really nice gentleman, served in the Navy, and he was complaining about the management of Cracker Barrel. And I asked him, I said, well, what'd you do in the Navy? He says, I was in management. He was complaining about the people that he was. But here's the point. You can meet nice people, but if they don't love others, they've missed the point of life. You see, look at what it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. Underline those words, because there's a lot of people that feel like they know God, but they hate others. You know, in the church, one of the things that's going on in the church today is we're getting ready to elect another president. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's going to happen here sometime soon. And politically, in churches, there's a division between those who want this guy and those that want this guy. And I'm going to just tell you right now, it doesn't matter who wins, but there are a lot of people here in the church that hate because somebody's voting for somebody they don't agree with. And we can't be that way as a church. We cannot be that way as a body of believers. You say, well, Neil, it does matter who wins. If this guy wins, we're going to do this. And if this guy wins, we're going to do that. God is in control. And we don't have to worry about that. You know what we have to worry about? We have to worry about loving others, because what it says here, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not. You see, it is so important for us as a church to maintain love in the church. You know, it's so easy for a church to get divided, is it? I remember hearing about a church in Tennessee, small church, one man killed another man because they were arguing over the color of the carpet. Now, I'm sure there's more to it, that story, but I just think about how we get so obsessed and so uptight about what we want and what we need and what we think should be, and we quit loving other people. The second thing you need to know why love matters is love completes me. Love completes me. I love that movie, Jerry Maguire. You know, Show Me the Money. Anybody in here remember that movie? Raise your hand if you remember that. Okay, you are my people. But there's one scene in there where Tom Cruise goes in and he's talking to his wife and he's telling about all the things that were going on. And at the very end of it, he says, "You complete me." And I'm going, oh, that is so romantic and so foolish. And she says, "Shut up." You remember that? You had me at hello. You see, we need to understand that when we have a loving heart and we live a loving life, it completes us. Look at what the scripture says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. You see, sometimes when I'm reading the scriptures, I look at it and I think, well, why would we do this? Well, we do what we do because of love. It's either love for God or love for others. If you went to your life group last week, one of the things that I had you do in life group is to go over the Ten Commandments and which ones have to do with loving God and which ones have to do with loving others. Because I want you to see everything in the Bible is about loving God and loving others. All the foundation of the Bible is that. If you look here, the next thing that I've got is, see, love covers my sin. Love covers my sin. And I want you to underline this. Above all, let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, underline above all, because I think that's very important for us to remember here, because sometimes we try to get everything just right, amen? We want to make sure this is done right and that is done right, but it says above all, love each other deeply. Now, what does it mean to be loving somebody deeply? That means you have to know what makes them laugh and what makes them cry. It doesn't just come up and say, hey, I love you. It means that you have to get to know that person. Last Sunday, I made mention of the fact that love means it takes action. And I just jokingly said, next time you think of me and you think that you love me, just give me $5. That's your action step. And you know what? We had one member, Kelvin. Kelvin came up to me or he texted me and he says, Neil, do you have Cash App? And I'm like, no, I don't. Why? And he says, because I was thinking about you today and I wanted to show you I loved you. And so what we did is Kelvin and I got to really love each other because we got to go to Cracker Barrel together and enjoy lunch together. And I got to know him in a way that was deeper than I knew him before. You see, when you spend time with people, you get to know them. And Kelvin, you're not going to believe this, but his older brother won a gold medal in the 2012 Olympics. Is that when it was, Kelvin? 2021 Olympics. He won a gold medal for relay racing. Kelvin's famous, and we didn't even know it. But you can't love each other deeply without getting to know each other. That's the reason why we have life groups. It's a chance for you to really connect with people and really put what God is teaching you to practice. The second thing it says here, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, there's two ways that you can look at this. The first way is love covers a multitude of sins because God sent his Son. He so loved the world that he sent his Son to die on the cross so that we might be saved. Amen? Now, that is the good news. And it is love that put Jesus on the cross. I love the people that say it wasn't nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was love that held him on the cross. Because that's the truth of it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is what covered my sins. It wasn't just a sacrifice. It was love that covered my sins. Now, here's the second way you can look at that. And if you look at the scriptures closely, a lot of times you will see it's like an onion. You peel back different layers and you get more meaning out of it. But the second way to look at it is if I love somebody deeply, and I love my brother Jason, who's leading our singing, and I love him deeply, and Jason does something or says something stupid that hurts my feeling or offends me, guess what? I'm going to overlook it because I love him so much. I have two sons, and my sons, I just love them to death. I'll be honest with you, I did not want to be a parent. I was having too much fun being me. And Nancy, before we ever got married, she had me sign a contract that we would have 2.5 kids. We got to two. I don't know what we're going to do about the fifth one. Maybe she was thinking I was a half a kid anyway. Amen. Nancy's amen in that for sure. But I love those kids, and I love them deeply. And you know, a lot of times they did things that would disappoint me. And even today, as adults, from time to time, they do things that disappoint me, things that I really wish they wouldn't do. But you know what? I don't nag them. I don't fuss at them or don't do anything. They know what I like and what I dislike. And it just covers their areas where I think they shouldn't be doing things. You see, that love covers a multitude of sin. And it covers my sins. Look at Colossians chapter 2, 13 through 14. Because this is the most important thing for you to get out of today. It's why we love others. It's because we were first loved. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. You were dead in sins. And your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ. For he forgave all your sins and blotted out all the charges proved against you. The list of his commandments which you had not obeyed, he took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. You see, when it comes right down to it, we can't love others. We can't even begin to love others until we understand the love that God has for us. My mother grew up in a very, very abusive relationship. I mentioned this last week, but I've talked to my mother about it some more, and one of the things that just blows my mind is that my mother is such a good, loving, and kind woman. Now, she's crazy, but she's a good, kind, loving woman. And when I was talking to her, she was talking about how when she first got married, that she didn't have any self-esteem at all until she spent time in God's Word, and she went through the entire Bible learning how God loves her. And she says once she figured that out, everything else was easy. When you figure out that God loves you enough to send his one and only Son to this earth so that you might have eternal life, it makes a difference. And I know a lot of you in here have that as head knowledge, but when it becomes heart knowledge, it makes it easier to love other people. So the next reason why love matters most is love reverberates eternally. Love reverberates eternally. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I was talking with my mom. She reminded me of something while we were talking. I try to call my mom every day, so if I talk about my mom a lot, it's because I'm talking to her every day. But my mom said, "Neil, do you remember what is worse than hell and greater than heaven?" And I said, "That vaguely sounds familiar, but I can't remember how it goes." And she said, "What's worse than hell and better than heaven is taking someone with you." You see, when we love others, we plant seeds. And when we plant those seeds, people are going to start to respond to the love of God because of the love they feel from others. We live in a world that is so upside down right now. We live in a world where people don't look at you anymore. I have made it a point every place I go where somebody is waiting on me, I make it a point to bless that person. And I make it a point to tell them what it is that I like about them and what it is that I enjoy about them. Kelvin witnessed it the other day when we were having lunch. I just stopped and I told the young lady, I said, "Look," I said, "I just want to thank you for your service. Your smile is just so nice and you enjoy waiting on us and you did such a good job. I said, and you go home and you talk to your mom and dad and you thank them for giving you those beautiful eyes." Now, I'm an old man. I can get away with that. Austin cannot do that, okay? Not unless he's looking to get married real quick. But you know, you can do these kinds of things. You can bless other people. And by blessing other people, guess what? People remember it when you bless them. And when you bless them verbally, financially, however you do it, when you bless them, they will remember you and they will respond to you. And at some point in their life, they're going to want to ask the question, "What makes this person so different?" And you can begin to tell them about the love that you found in Jesus Christ. And when we love people into heaven, that's when our love reverberates for all eternity. And that's what I want for you, and that's what I want for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. "If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I do not love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do," underline those words, "so no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. You see, I can have the right doctrine. I can have the right things in terms of knowing what to say and when to say, and I can even do some of the right things, such as giving and helping people. But if I don't have love, then I have missed out. And if there's anything that I can get you to do over the next 40 days, it will be this. It will be looking at your heart to see if you're loving others. And I'm not just saying, I'm going to go home and say, I love others, so I'm okay. I don't need this lesson anymore. No, I want you to look at your life and show how you're loving others. Don't just say it. Show it. And then, number two, the best expression of love is T-I-M-E, time. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us stop saying we love people. Let us really love them by showing it by our actions. I tell parents this all the time, that children hear love or spell love T-I-M-E. There's so many example after example of example where parents didn't spend time with their children and they never knew their children were loved, or their children never knew they were loved. I was so thankful when I started working for this church. They couldn't pay me enough money to make ends meet several years ago, and they allowed me to work part-time. And here's why I'm thankful. Because I started a construction business where I did remodeling and repairs for people, and my two boys got to work with me. And I have the best relationship with those two boys now than I could ever ask for, and it's because I spent time with them when they were younger. You see, if you want to show somebody that you love them, you spend time with them. If you want to show somebody that you really care about them, you're going to change your agenda so that you can spend time with that person. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Galatians 5, 6, the last part of the verse, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And Ephesians 5, 2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. I want you to underline the words, as a sacrifice for us. If you're going to love somebody, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice your time. You're going to have to sacrifice your agenda. There is a lot of times where I would rather be doing something else than what I'm doing. But I know very well that if I am going to love others, I've got to work on their schedule. I've got to help them when they need it. If I told you today that I needed help tomorrow and you didn't give me the time today and came to me tomorrow and said, oh, I can help you today, you've missed your opportunity, amen? And we need to take every opportunity that's there. And that brings me to the last point. The best time to love is now. The best time to love is right now. Galatians 6:10, therefore, and underline these words, as we have opportunity, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I have watched Christians lose opportunity after opportunity. A waiter or waitress will come in and sit their food down in front of them and they won't even look up. This is an opportunity to look up and say thank you, to connect with somebody, and you never know what seeds you are planting. And every single day that you are alive on this earth, you have an opportunity and a command to do good. And yet many of us go through life, we're oblivious to the people that are around us. We're oblivious to the opportunities that God gives us every single day to do good, to learn to love others. This 40 days of love has got to be impactful to the church in order for the church to be impactful. And we need to look at other people as sons and daughters of God. And when we see people for the way God sees people, God loved them so much that he sent his son to this earth to die for them, it will not be a problem for us to be nice to him, will it? Because we know that God wants us to take every opportunity we have to do good. And a lot of times, most of the times in our society where people are pretty much self-sufficient and have everything they need, the one thing that we can do every single day is give someone a kind word. But you have to take those opportunities in front of you. If you're going out to lunch, take the opportunity to show love to whoever's waiting that table. Take the opportunity to thank the hostess for seating you. Take the opportunity to tell the people around you that you love them. Take the opportunity to spend time with someone that needs your time. You see, every opportunity we have is a gift from God. Ephesians 5:16, use every chance you have for doing good. Underline those words. Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times. Shaq introduced the messengers of hopes and bags of blessings and prayer warriors that we're going to be starting. And that is a great thing. I was just blown away by what Shaq told me about the number of people that have volunteered. I didn't know we had that many people that just didn't have anything to do, honestly. But I think it's awesome that you're doing that. But you know what? There's some of you in here can't be here on Thursdays because you have a job, you have something going on, and you can't be here on Thursdays. You know what? That's okay, because you can take other opportunities to do good. You can look for other opportunities to do good. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I give it to you, when you already have it with you. What I'm trying to get across to you is we have opportunities every single day. It may be the cashier at the grocery store. It may be somebody you see at a gas station. It may be somebody that lives next door to you. But there's always an opportunity for you to do good. And over the next 40 days, make it a practice to do that. Several years ago, I heard Rick Warren said, he said, say this prayer. And I have been saying it ever since then. It's kind of become rote to me because it's one of those things that I say so often that I don't know that I always give it what I need to. But I wake up every morning and I would say, Lord, let me know you better and love you more today, no matter what else I accomplish. And sometimes at the end of the day, I will look back and I will see I know God better and maybe I love him more. And that's a hard thing to measure, but at least it gives me an opportunity to think about that. But I've changed my prayer since I've started studying this 40 days of love. And I'm saying, God, let me know you better and love you more so that I can love others more so that they can know you better. Why don't we want that for those people in the world? And I've told you this before. I think the problem with the church is not that we hate people as much as we are just indifferent to those that are in the world. God does not have a plan B. He calls his church to be salt and light to the world. And if we're not being salt and light to the world, nothing's going to get done. And if you can learn to be more loving over the next 40 days, if you can learn to take those opportunities to do good over the next 40 days, then all of this preaching will not be in vain. And all of God's word will not be in vain, because that's what he calls us to. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we begin this first 40 days of loving others, of following the way of love, help us to love you more, know you better, and love others more completely. so that they can know you better. Father, sometimes the only sermon anyone will ever hear is the sermon they see in our lives. And help us to show them the sermon of love that you have given us. Father, there are so many stresses, there are so many pulls on our times, there are so many things that are drawing our attention. And today, Father, help us to commit to loving others and loving you so that we can be in heaven knowing what we needed to do while we were here on earth. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We sing an invitation song on the last thing after the sermon. That invitation song is sung every Sunday. And that invitation song is nothing more than for you to have a chance to reflect on your worship. You may have been here today, and I love the remarks that Mark made. I love the remarks that were made at communion service by Steve. I love the things that are going on. I love the singing that we got to participate in today. Amen? And I love all of those things. And it may be the sermon you heard something. You said, you know, that really makes sense to me. It's starting to put it together for me. Whatever that was, whatever it is that you need to change in your heart, in your life, we sing that invitation song so you can make those changes. That change is what you respond to when we sing the invitation song. And if you need to respond in a public way, we can make everything ready. Will you come as we stand and sing?